You know you're kind of a big deal, right?
Bitch, yes I do. That's because I consider fisting first base. But you do know you're kind of a big deal too.
Well, that's because I respect the process. Duh.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This is Kind of a Big Deal podcast with Terry Miller and Douglas Parks.
Yo, people.
Hello, good people.
Hello, hello.
And welcome to another episode of Kind of a Big Deal podcast with Terry Miller.
And Doug Parks.
And tonight we have a very special guest.
Very, very special.
The beautiful Michelle. Welcome, Michelle.
Fedora.
Fedora.
Fedora. What's a fedora?
I know what a fedora is.
I know. You look good in it, too.
I'm so, like you. I look good in anything.
See, I knew I should have paid you earlier in my life.
Now he's just sucking up.
Hey, it works.
So
the older I get, it works better.
So I met Michelle through Doug. Doug met Michelle through the book club that his cousin Karen does. And our conversation when we first met was pretty interesting. It was about bags that she makes. Would you like to explain the bags that you make, Michelle? Because I think they're pretty awesome.
Certainly. I crochet with plastic in a nutshell. I just take anybody's plastic bags from anything, not just the ones that they pack your groceries in. The stuff that your bread comes in, any kind of plastic bags. And I cut those up, daisy chain them together, and crochet with them. And either by themselves or I crochet with them and yarn together. And you'd be surprised. It comes out a very unique kind of texture. And Terry doesn't know, but Daniel surprised me with a spindle. So now, to get a completely different texture, I spin plastic into cord and crochet with that. Because it's hard to find. Right now, with COVID, you wouldn't believe it's hard to find thread and it's hard to find yarn. So we've improvised.
And probably because everybody's at home, they're doing arts and crafts.
Absolutely.
I know that. We went into Michael's and it was pretty picked through. They had a good bit, but a lot of their crafts were picked through.
Oh, yeah. I made the mistake of going into Walmart about a week or two ago and looking for thread. And a woman just who worked there just went on and laughed at me. Said, please don't take it personally. She fell on out on the floor and laughed at me. She's like, I haven't seen that in months. I don't even know.
So, what are you working on over there, Doug?
Where do I work currently?
No, I was asking Doug what he was working on over there.
She mentioned crocheting, so I looked up a couple crochet jokes.
Oh, okay. Let's hear them.
Why do spiders spin webs? No one ever taught them to crochet. What happened to the naughty granny square? He got into trouble.
Oh.
At first, I wasn't sure about crocheting toys, but it anime grew on me. Some of these I don't understand. But that's what I was doing.
They're all real basic, like dad jokes.
Yeah, but they're called mom jokes. Grandma jokes. I guess you call them grandma jokes.
Well, I just go with the basic one. Thread is cheaper than therapy. Or yarn is cheaper than therapy.
What did one yarn end say to the other yarn end?
Let's join in.
No, I'm afraid not. That was cute.
That is cute.
I was just sharing.
So how have you been doing during this quarantine, Michelle?
Going a little bonkers because I've finally gotten into a good routine and then everything and every place I wanted to go is closed. So it's a little difficult to find different activities and to find flat places to go walk to get some exercise. But one of the things I could say, my son is really finding interesting things for us to get into. So that's making it good. But I think the longer we're quarantined, the more bizarre things we find to do.
Well, that's pretty good. Bizarre things are always usually fun.
They are. But when you're short, black, and old, sometimes people look at it a little bit crazy. But it's fun. The crazy part sometimes is even the better.
What's wrong with being short, black, and old, Michelle?
Nothing's wrong with it. Hey, I should have died 3-4 times. So, I mean, I'm proud to be who I am. But sometimes, you know, with the package I walk around with, people expect me to be a little bit different than I am. Because it's not uncommon to see me with a Harley Davidson shirt on and some camo or something like that. And that's not what people expect. Or pink hair is definitely not what people expect.
Yeah, I think people put people in stereotypes and they put them in boxes too often, is my personal opinion.
They do. They definitely do. And I'm far from fitting in any box, figuratively and literally, all of the above.
I believe the reason why people want to put everybody into a box and make everybody like them is because nobody's allowed to be individuals. So because we're not allowed to be individuals, people are being selfish and saying, fine, you're going to do what I want then and be like me. And then there's arguments with everything, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think a lot of it, too, is sometimes people are just afraid to be different. So it's easier to be just like the person next to you.
Well, the people that are different get picked on for it, put down. You know, because they're jealous from all the other people are jealous that are stuck in boxes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And if everybody would just be themselves, we wouldn't be jealous of everybody else for being who they are.
That's right.
It's simple, but no, we're not capable of doing that as people.
We're not capable because that takes stepping out on faith. And I think a lot of people just can't do that. Especially when you've seen so many other people getting picked on, you know, it's hard to believe that you would find a space where you're not. I mean, I use my son as a perfect example for that. You know, even going to that book club, he's like, at first didn't want to go because he stutters and someone's going to say something, someone's going to do something. And, you know, so it was hard for him to really truly believe that he would be in a space where, you know, that's not a priority. Making any kind of derogatory comments is not a priority. There's, you know, the group was about something else. So, you know, even on that small scale, it's hard for people to say, you know what, I'm going to go out on faith that this group of people or this situation is going to be one that is conducive to happy thoughts, positive thoughts, or me being me.
Why do you think it's often hard for people to go out on their faith if it's, I mean, taking risks is all a part of life, but why is it harder for people to put themselves out there and to be talked about or ridiculed for
who they
are?
Because I honestly believe that a lot of people don't have the skills to cope with disappointment or to cope with, you know, your feelings are hurt. A lot of people say, you know, we're in the age of just the participation. People, you don't want their children to lose or not get picked.
I say that all the time. Everybody gets a trophy.
Right. And I think it's an offshoot of that. People are just not willing to have the possibility that my feelings are going to get hurt or I'm going to feel a certain way. Or, you know, definitely this looks like this, so why bother trying? And then you got to remember, too, I think you got a whole lot of people. I mean, I truly believe a whole lot of people, if you ask them to define what faith is, they can't. or they're automatically going to think that faith has something to do with religion, and it doesn't have to have something to do with religion. You know, yeah. Faith is just basically, think of all the people that have bucket lists. Faith is believing that you're going to get to that point where it doesn't matter. You saw a goal or you saw something that was kind of cool, so you said, you know what, F it, I'm going to go do that. That's faith.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought, after I had my first surgery, I made a list of shit that I wanted to do. And it was outlandish and not how I was raised. And everyone I showed that list to said, you're insane. But I didn't put limits on that. I didn't say I have to do this in a year. I didn't, none of that. I just said, this is some shit I want to try. And whenever I get the opportunity to try or do any of that stuff, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I never thought in a million years that I would go to Sturgis. That is the best time I have ever had in my life. And if I didn't go out on faith, looking and hearing about what that was, I would have never gone.
Isn't that a bike rally?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, yeah.
And so much more. So much more.
I've had friends go to that, and I've never been.
Highly recommend it. Highly, highly recommend it.
Is there lots of naked people running around?
There's lots of everything. Naked people. That's, you know, that's just, you wouldn't even think about it.
Like, I think it's so awesome when really, really old people run around naked.
Oh yeah, it's everybody. There is absolutely everybody.
It's like, and to be that carefree.
I thought, you know, part of me thought, okay, I don't ride a bike like that, you know. I'm basically rolling around with a cane and all this other stuff. I thought, okay, this, I'm going to have to think hard to make this work. Please. I had people like, girl, come on. You can fit in here. Go ahead on. We going with us. Let's go. I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. Oh, girl, yay. You look like you had surgery. Get in here. Let's do this. You know, I didn't know who these people were like that. But the people I went with are like, this is how it is. If you're here, ain't nobody had nothing to say to you.
No, your family.
Doesn't matter how you walking around.
I feel like that should be a testament to people being able to open up to other people and bringing them in and embracing them. Much like with Daniel and the book club, where he was scared to go at first and it turned out to be a very positive experience and was really cool, and everybody was opening him with open arms, because you don't need to judge everybody all the time, and you don't need to stereotype, and you don't need to put them in a box. People are who they are, and you can't change who they are. So you have to embrace who they are and love them for that type of person, or
exactly.
Love Daniel because he has a stutter. And I never even picked up on that, honestly, when we were sitting there talking. I never picked up on him having a stutter.
I didn't really pick up on it. When I first met them, I thought they were a boyfriend and girlfriend, though. I didn't know they were mom and son.
Well, you're not the only one. We had a lady in church think that was my husband, since he was hanging with me like that. But, you know, I've done that to make sure, you know, one of the things, if I've said nothing else to Daniel, is that you just got to try shit. Doesn't matter. It can be the worst thing in the entire world. You got to try. There's nothing. I mean, and that's kind of how I grew up too. There's nothing that you're going to, of course, you're going to say no to stuff that you put you definitely in harm's way, all that kind of stuff. Definitely. Common sense, no. But you're not going to say no to something simply because you don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, or simply because this person said, you know, like his father was like, book club, that's for your mother. And I'm like, no, we're not. You go, you see if you like it. If you hate it, okay. But you got to at least go to see if you like it, see what's going on. And I've tried to have him do that with everything.
I was glad to have another guy there.
Be it experiences.
I was glad to have another guy there.
Oh, so was he.
Yeah.
He was so happy to see you. He's like, look. I said, I know. Look. He's in there pointing at me and picking at me. He's like, look. I'm like, see, it's a guy. I know.
They do exist.
Right. Because at first she's looking around like, I'm like, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, guys think book club. They think, this is going to be a bunch of nerds, you know?
But right.
Really, it's not, you know?
And besides, I think, that experience has translated into a lot of different things for the both of us. It's been more than a book club. Because I think we were both in a place where we needed to not only interact with different people, we needed to have a different perspective on a lot of other things. And that was the catalyst for that. And so he and I have had a lot of discussions about how one experience, you can't take the experience at face value. You know, maybe a book club is not your thing, but that book club experience has led to him writing some more reviews. You know, it's led to different things. It's led to us going to places that we wouldn't have gone to. I mean, honestly, for Havre de Grace, I went to one place in Havre de Grace and left. I didn't go to any other shop. I didn't do anything one place and out. So if it wasn't for that offshoot, you know, it has opened up experiences for us, people for us, you know, different activities, like Washington Street Book and Collectible Place. That's Daniel's place. He and the owner, they got a thing. You know what I'm saying? I could leave him there, do my thing. So, you know, it's offshot into so many different things. And I think as a populace, we miss out on that opportunity because we're judging people at face value and opportunities at face value and not think long-term benefit.
Yeah. And I think that when you put yourself out there, you meet people and you become, you start to be able to open up more to different people. But I can also see where it's scary going into a group. You've never met all these people. You don't know who they are as a person. And then you're introducing yourself into that. And sometimes it is scary because it could backfire. It could be negative. But in the case of you and Daniel with the book club, it was very positive. And I think that positivity also drives you to want to do more and drives you to interact with different people as you move forward.
Oh, absolutely. And I think even the reverse of that, even finding out, hey, you know, I didn't like this experience or I didn't like this person. If you try to take all of that negative and turn that around, it's still a learning experience. You know, some of the activities that I've gravitated to try or have Daniel try, we don't like them. But at least we've tried them, so we know we don't like them. Or we tried them and found out that he likes it and I don't, or vice versa. But you still had to try.
Yeah, it's almost like food. Like if somebody says, here, you want to try this, and you're like, oh, no, I don't like that, but you've never tried it before. You really don't know if you like it or not. You got to try it and then make your educated opinion on it.
Absolutely.
I taught Karen that lesson once with bread pudding. She was going on and on. She was going on and on about how she hated bread pudding. She's had a lot of different people's bread pudding and she hated it. So I made her my bread pudding and brought it over and she was devouring the stuff. She loved it.
That's right. You know, and I think that even on a personal, these experiences or in the last couple of years for me personally have given me an opportunity to, like, I would have never done this at all, or, you know, talk about things that I like at all, because one, I wasn't raised that way, and then two, that's another way of putting yourself out there. Who has time for that? That's serving me no purpose. But, you know, you got to take all of that and realize, of course, it's serving you a purpose.
Yeah, But at the same time, it is a little scary when you start getting out of your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
And working towards getting to know people. But if you never went to that book club, you would have never met Doug and I. You would have never been able to have this opportunity to be on the podcast and share some stuff.
So. Absolutely. But it also gives you an opportunity to say, okay, because the book club was a positive experience, because meeting you all was a positive experience, regardless how I feel about sitting there and talking, it's still going to be okay because all those other positive things led up to it. And I think if more people sort of took that kind of a view on life, that, okay, some of this stuff worked out, so let's give it a shot, I think life would be a lot better for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. 100%. Oh, okay. Share it.
So earlier I was looking up some stuff on the web and I came across this article on how travel changed after 9/11 and how it's going to change after COVID-19 releases up or lets up. And the COVID-19 pandemic has brought travel and tourism to a near standby, and no one is sure when it will start. Somebody's got to be texting me. Savannah texted me and said, this bitch is standing in the hall again. We have this creepy roommate that just stands around outside bathroom doors and shit and is creepy. I call her a thing because she's non-binary. It doesn't have a gender, so I just say thing. I don't know what else to say. I don't understand some things.
Oh, did we lose you?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
What?
We had a technical difficulty. We lost Michelle.
How long ago?
How long ago did we lose you?
When you said I looked on the web, and that was about the last thing I heard.
Okay. Yeah, you missed all the good stuff. But anyway, you can listen to the podcast later on and hear what you missed. The COVID-19 pandemic has brought travel and tourism to a near standstill, and no one is sure when it will restart. When travel does begin again, look for it to start with road trips not too far from home, says experts. What the fuck do they know? Motherfuckers don't know people like me. I'm just going to get in my car and drive to fucking Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Stay the whole weekend and come back, you know?
Amen.
The new travel...
As long as there's some moonshine involved.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're going to be moonshine, girl. We're going to have some moonshine. I want to try that banana cream pie when they got.
Okay.
You didn't try that when you were down there?
I didn't drink moonshine down there. Y'all drank moonshine. I was a designated driver.
Oh, that's right.
Because we're responsible.
Well, the next time we go down, I'll be
I just smoked weed.
Next time we go down, I'll be DD and you can try the moonshine.
That'll be good. The coronavirus has devastated economies around the world and disrupted life in ways that were unimaginable just a few months ago. The world will never be the same, but at some point, industries will start coming back online and people will start going out again. So, yeah, it's just that travel is going to be completely different. They're saying people are going to take trips closer to home and do more outdoor events. Camping, things like that. You know what I mean? Spending more family time.
I can see people doing that.
But you know what? We need that.
Camping is not my friend. But I can see that.
But we need to be spending more time with families, you know?
That's true.
Like my family don't like me because I'm gay. They can't accept it. You know? So like I rarely ever see my brother and sister or my mom and dad. And when I do, it's usually like once a year on Christmas for an hour, maybe. And then I like get out of there once the racial comments start. So I just like, I don't have that family. So I have the family that I built.
Absolutely.
You know, I have, too. You know, and we're close.
After my mother passed away, you know, it's only family I've created. And it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Because, you know, my aunts and uncles, they don't want to have anything to do with me. And, you know, that's sad. It's sad for Daniel to be, you know, 21 years old and to say that he doesn't know who these people are. But, you know,
is it because you married a white guy?
It's a black and white thing, and it's because they had some issue with my mother. So guilt by association, mostly.
Yeah.
So since they didn't like her, they don't like me.
Why? It's because your mother's rad like you, so they don't like her?
Oh, no. My mother, you think I'm rad? My mother was way, way over the top. You know, she would cuss you out in a heartbeat. She would do anything. Anything would come out that mouth. She would help you, but the tongue lashing would just be, you know, something special. And she helped her brothers and sisters a lot. And when they got to certain, you know, they have good jobs, certain stature, they weren't willing to turn around and reach back or, you know, acknowledge. Like, I remember going to a party with one of some of my aunts were there and stuff. And, you know, they wouldn't even introduce my mother because she had, in their minds, a lowly job. So, you know, stupid things like that.
I've found that racism and prejudice runs through every color, every nationality.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's absolutely so horrible and pointless. Like, I love people. I love different people. If you treat me like shit and you're an asshole, I put you in a different category. You ain't fucking nothing to me, motherfucker. Everybody else I love. I want to know. I want my life. I'll talk to a stranger on the street. People got to stop with this hating.
Yeah, it takes up too much time.
You know what the problem is with division? You can keep dividing and keep dividing and keep dividing because numbers have no end.
Right.
But you'll never get an answer until you put an equal mark on there. You got to stop it at some point. You know?
Right. People
don't. And all it does is keep separating and separating and separating people.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't want to love people for who they are is what I feel. And you can't look at somebody and say, oh, I'm not talking to them, or, oh, I don't want to associate with them, because everybody has a personality. And there's some people with very good personalities and there's some people with negative personalities. And I think that too often as humans, we forget about the personality and we judge the book by its cover. But the content
definitely
is amazing, and we don't ever take a chance to get to know that.
Right. And honestly, I think that, and my mother used to kick my ass for this one, but I think that sometimes some of the people in your life are people that are for different times and are for different places in your life. Because growing up, I used to say this to my mother, I need a friend in every socioeconomic group there is, every racial group there is, doesn't matter. And she never got that. But I'm like, if nothing else, having friends in that of all different types helps you be able to relate. You know, because if I was so closed off and say I didn't want to talk to people that lived in the inner city of Baltimore. Say I'm stuck in the inner city of Baltimore. I'm in hella trouble because
you call me, my white ass, you know, will come right down there and get you.
If you find an opportunity to be someplace or to be around some people and you have not experienced all these different groups of people, it makes socialization, it makes problems where there doesn't have to be any. You know, no one says that you have to personally go out and make sure you have your token black friend, token white friend, token oriental friend, or whoever. Yeah, I don't have to do that. But you have to be at a place where you can communicate, appreciate, understand, and basically love everybody, because then you're able to adapt.
You know,
I mean, I used to work in a place in Baltimore City that is nothing what I was accustomed to growing up as. You know, I've never seen that many people just hanging on the street and doing all kinds of stuff. But I made sure, just because you want to treat people decently, I spoke to everyone as I walked from the bus stop, you know, like 12 blocks to where I was supposed to work. So when trouble came, and I had always spoke to these people and always treated them with respect and dignity, when trouble came, they made sure to get me out the way, because I wasn't a stuck up person that didn't think I should be able to speak to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to treat everybody the same way, you know, give them the respect that they deserve, because they're here on the planet.
I think the old adage that, you know, they used to tell us when we were kids, treat others how you would like to be treated, is just so intelligent, but you don't usually think about it as humans. You don't stop for a second and think, okay, so how do I want to be treated? How would I like to be treated versus how I'm treating this person?
Right. I don't think you're absolutely right. I don't think we think about that, especially in the, of course, not in the moment, but I think if you honestly sit around and ask people, how do you want to be treated? It's going to take them a while to come up with a good list. Exactly. And you wouldn't think, you know, of course, that shouldn't take you that long to come up with. But I think it would, because I think people, so many people have so many insecurities and are so laser focused into their life. They're just trying to get from A to B and not be seen.
I think people's bios on their dating site should be different. I think their bio should read, I was abused in a relationship for 20 years until he died, and now I'm learning to communicate all over again. So this is how I need to be treated for this amount of time so that I can heal properly. And if motherfucker don't want to come along and help her heal, shouldn't be in her life. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But people should be able to express everything about them, their failures, their faults, and nobody judge them at all. That's the way it should be.
It definitely should be that way.
I think this is something that I learned, was able to learn early on, was because I went to York County School of Technology, which is a technical school, and it's in York. So there's diverse, you know, pupils. Your pupils are very diverse. And I come from a predominantly white school. And when I first got there, like, I was very set in my ways from the way that I was raised, was that, you know, people of color are negative people and all the stereotypes that colored people get. And when I went up there, like, I still had that in my head, and I had to learn that these people are humans and they have personalities and they are different than me by the way they look, but they're the same with me by the things that they like music and stuff like that. And I actually had like some of the best learning experiences going to a diverse school like that, where I don't think I would be as far advanced with my loving people and treating people kindly and meeting people and not judging people if I didn't have that experience and grow up in my teenage years learning all of that.
Okay, but my question to you would be this: for you to even be open to that experience, because, you know, in my life, I went to a predominantly white school and came in contact with a lot of people that were in a place that they were unwilling to see beyond the things that they learned at home about people of color. So my question to you would be, what was different for you in your life or growing up that got you to a point where you were willing to even say, let's just see how this happens. Let's see if my beliefs are correct. Because I think whatever that is, that's the key that a lot of people might not get, you know, with their home life or other interactions to make them open like you were.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that statement is you're not going to have a good experience if you don't open your mind. And I think a lot of it was because I hate to say it, but I didn't take everything that my parents said to granted. Like, I was that kid that was always like, oh, you're full of shit type of thing. And when I went to school and I started meeting these people and started interacting with them and getting to know their personalities, I wasn't thinking about it in that way. I was thinking about going to that school for my education purposes. I wasn't thinking about it as having that experience. I didn't realize that it was that experience and I had had that experience until I got older and I was out of school and I looked back on it and said, wow, I would not have just stuck up for that person of color if I didn't have that experience and get to know different people for who they are. But I think a lot of it was is because I questioned everything that my parents said. And I knew a lot of what they said was bullshit about people that are African American or Asian American. You know, they're people. Just because they look different doesn't mean they're different or they're negative or they're disgusting people. And I pretty much threw everything they said out and just found out for myself and learned for myself and then made my judgment call based on what I found out. If they were negative people, then yeah, I'm not going to hang out with them. But when you start to learn that not everybody's negative, and just because their skin is a different color than yours, it doesn't mean that they're negative. And that's what I had to learn from. I learned a lot from it, but I had to learn that in order to be where I am now.
Yeah.
See, I was raised by racist parents. They actually taught me to, as a little tiny child, and my dad tells this story all the time and laughs. He thinks it's funny. But when I was like 1 or 2 years old, he taught me to call black people boogers. And we were out at the grocery store one time with my mom, and I was pointing to a black guy yelling, "Booger, mommy, booger." And my mom was so embarrassed by that that she yelled at my dad for teaching it to me. But at the same time, she didn't yell at my dad for teaching me that because it was wrong. She yelled at him because it embarrassed her.
Right.
It's like, you're a fucked up individual. Like, your concept, you call yourself a Christian, but you don't train people to do the right thing for the right purpose. How are you a Christian, for one? And for two, you're going to raise me to hate and judge. And it didn't help that all through middle school, I was picked on by a black guy. I was bullied by a black guy every day. Damian Jackson every day would beat the crap out of me and call me a honky. And like I experienced fucking racial hatred, you know, and I had done nothing to nobody.
Yeah.
But it almost got me to hating black people because of what he was doing. And my dad was teaching me that they're all bad. And I didn't start coming out of that, honestly, until after middle school when I transferred out away from Happy to Grace and started going to Hartford Tech. And I was around all kinds of different kinds of people. And the black people that went to that school didn't bully. A lot of kids didn't bully there. That just wasn't the thing. Everybody pretty much accepted everybody as being different because we were from different schools from all around. We didn't have any cliques. We ended up forming cliques eventually, you know, but for the most part, when I was going to that school, it was amazing.
Yeah, you know? And I find it kind of interesting too, because when I was at Kennerdale and I was in middle school, like I was picked on all the time. Like I was bullied and everything. And then when I went to high school, everybody loved me and I ended up being prom king. So yeah. I went from being bullied and being stupid and dumb and being picked on all the time to being prom king in my senior year, and it was all because I went to a different school, and nobody at that school judged you as much as everybody back in my home school, which was really weird to see too, because, you know, everybody portrays high school as being always negative. Yeah, there's negative people. There was negative people at Tech, but they were more open to the fact is that everybody's different, because they came from their home schools for almost the same reason, was education. And also some of them came because they were bullied and picked on and ridiculed, and they wanted a new spot to start over type of thing. And so it was just like a really weird transition, but it was kind of beautiful to see going from being picked on and ridiculed to being one of the popular kids.
So Michelle, I forgive you people for picking on me in middle school.
Okay, I'm glad you do.
Now we're just throwing that out there. Now we're going to start picking on Michelle because she bullied him in middle school.
No, I mean, there's like, we're all bullies in some way, in some fashion.
Absolutely.
You know, all of us, because either we're manipulating somebody into getting what we want, or we are confusing people to get what we want, or we're using anger to get what we want. That's all forms of bully, you know?
Absolutely.
So like, we all need to stop judging each other for everything, because I'm guilty of everything out there. I'm guilty of being gay. I'm guilty of lying. I'm guilty of judging. I'm guilty of manipulation. I'm guilty of thievery and robbery. I'm guilty of all that shit.
Trusting an idiot.
Yeah. So like, I can't judge anybody because they might have done something that I perceive as bad on a level that I don't agree with.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you, it took me years to get to a point, and I think motherhood helped. I judge you on one thing. You hurt my kid, and that's it.
Yeah, children are different, because Jesus said, "Do not hurt my children."
Right.
That's, you know, that's, he, you said, know, woe to
that's
you.
That's my bottom line.
Child pornography, child rape, child molestation, anything involving a child, your motherfucking ass deserves to go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200 souls. Amen. It ain't happening.
Yep.
Your ass is nothing. Yep. And like, that is the one thing. Do not, I don't care what else you do. I can forgive you for anything, even fucking raping people. You know, I'll forgive that, because people, hurting people hurt other people. It's just a fact. If you are hurting, you're going to hurt somebody else. You know, you have to find balance and healing, and people can't find that today when they're afraid to talk about the things that they need to talk about, because somebody's going to judge them, unless you pay some guy fucking $400 an hour to listen to your shit, you know?
Hey, but with COVID, most of those offices are closed, and so the therapists are collecting unemployment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing, because people are starting to, like, talk to their families and friends. You know?
Oh, well.
Yeah, I feel like we were so shut off from the world for so long. We were shut off from going out and meeting people and getting to know people. And I think this kind of stems from the whole conversation that we just had, is that's a piece of it too, is people don't want to get to know people anymore because they're shut off and they're reserved. They're hidden behind their technology, their cell phone, their iPad, whatever they have that they're stuck behind all the time. And then you start getting these keyboard warriors on Facebook and start, you know, complaining and bitching and stuff. And it's like, calm down. Like, are you actually going to do anything if you were at this person face to face? No. So stop bringing it up. And I think that people just have been so out of tune for so long that they just completely forgot how to interact with others.
Oh yeah.
My parents are stuck.
I mean, I'm totally guilty of that, because I worked in a technology company where for the most of my career, I was over a phone interacting with people, and I became very robotic and, you know, very super detail oriented in my conversation. And then having to see these people face to face and still compartmentalizing that, I became really, you know, really, really separate from you know, having those interactions, because after all of that, I didn't want to interact with anybody. You know, taking them calls or doing a, seeing a person, a human face to face. Ugh, I don't want to do that.
Well, my mom will sit on Facebook and she'll put down everybody. She'll put down Democrats. She'll put down atheists. She'll put down everybody. And then, like, if she sees these people face to face, she's got this fake smile and this fake way that she talks. Her voice completely changes. It's like, hi. Oh, my God. It's so happy to see you. How you been lately? Like, and like, I want to fucking talk to you when you're talking like that. For one, I'm not a baby. I'm not stupid. You know, right. And it annoys the shit out of me, because I'm like, I would have more respect for my mother if she would tell you face to face.
Yeah.
You know, just be a real bitch.
My ex-wife used to talk like that, and I used to call it her customer service voice, because as soon as she started talking to somebody, she switched into that customer service mode. Like, hi, how you doing today? Oh my gosh, really? I'm so sorry. Like, it was just like, stop. Just stop it. Just be yourself. And like, that was like a big thing with my parents when they met her, was because she just didn't talk to him. She would sit there and be like, no, like, I know, it's just so weird. Oh my gosh. And it's like, please stop. You're just getting on my fucking nerves.
Oh yes. Sometimes you just can't turn it off. It took a while for me to be able to turn it off. Cause if you think you're doing that 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, 5 to 6 days a week, sometimes you just can't turn it off. Or you get those teachers that work with little kids, when they leave that, they still talk to you like you're the little kids. You know, sometimes you just can't.
Oh, yeah.
Or you just don't want to, because then that person's crap will just come flooding into your, you know, centered, one focused life.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Because believe me, I got that voice too now. And usually if you hear that voice coming from me, you know that I'm like 2 seconds from flipping the hell out. And I'm trying to calm myself.
Yeah.
But,
Because
I could do the, oh my God, how are you? So happy to talk to you. It's so wonderful. Yeah.
And you do that a lot in customer service, because you are trying to make sure that they're feeling comfortable around you. And sometimes you end up doing it. I even end up doing it at work sometimes when I have to take care of the customers.
I get upset if I call somebody in customer service and they talk to me like that. I had this girl one day I called because of my AT&T phone bill. Something was wrong. It ended up, I had shut off my data on my phone. And that was the issue. I shut it off.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I had shut it off. My phone just wasn't working. So I call AT&T and I get this girl like, hi, my name's Cheryl. And I'm like, can I speak to your manager? She was like, sorry, did I do something? I'm like, I just want to speak to somebody else. And she's like, okay. And she sounded really offended. But rather than me get angry during this phone call and be more pissed off because I'm dealing with your dumbass, I just want to go ahead and skip that right now and just speak to somebody else.
Well, no.
You know, it was no. Like,
I do that too. I do that too. Because, but I'll say it to them this way. Can I speak to a manager? They're like, no. I'm like, trust me. You do not get paid enough to hear the words that are about to come out of my mouth. And eight out of 10 times, they will go ahead and do that. But then those 2 times... then you just got to light them up. And then like, hey, I don't feel bad because I told you to pass this on.
Yeah, because I'm going to leave them crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why people don't listen when you say that you're about ready to get angry. Because usually people that are saying that are trying to be nice and be like, just give me to somebody that can at least attempt to help me a little bit better than you can, because you're really ticking me off. But no, they just keep going. Right. Just keep going.
Yeah. Or but see, sometimes they push you there though, customers will push you there.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of my most favorite memories were customers would call and complain about their bill because it is 25 cents off what it should be. And instead of arguing with them, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to credit your account a dollar. And then they want to argue. No, you only owe me 25 cents. And I'm like, I'm giving you a dollar for us both. It has nothing to do with you. It's for us both. So you'll be happy. I'll be happy. And we can go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And they'll stay on the phone and fight you because they only want 25 cents.
It's crazy.
And you're like, okay. You're like, okay.
Yeah, we get people calling back in at the pizza shop all the time. And it's just sometimes it's just like, are you serious? Like this lady called in the other day and I had just gotten into work and they were remaking a pizza. This lady called and said, I ate this whole pizza and it was bad. I only had one slice of the other pizza and it's bad too. So they remade the pizzas, sent them out. And then she gave the girl that delivered the pizza the other pizza back. And when she got it back to the shop, she opened it up and half the pizza was gone. So she just got two free pizzas on top of the two, one and a half she already ate because they were bad, but she had no reason why they were bad.
Oh, yeah. I used to work at Whole Foods.
See?
I used to hate Thanksgiving because without fail, we'd have at least two people that would come back the day after Thanksgiving with a bag with the bones in it, wanting to return the bag of bones because the turkey was bad.
You know what I do? All you have to do is call me and give me their address and I'll take care of it for you.
Well, you'd be surprised. Or they'll return things that didn't come from that store.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought it here. No, that it says Walmart on the bottom of it. I bought it here. Okay.
I'll go return their house back to a time when there was nothing on that property.
Wapoosh.
I remember when we were kids, we used to go into neighborhoods. And we would take all the yard ornaments out of one house and spread them out to all the other houses. And we'd have like 10 of us together. And we'd all ride up into different houses and take all the yard ornaments and just move them around to different yards. We didn't steal anything. We just moved it.
Oh, my goodness.
And we never really knew the outcome. Just the fact of us doing that, we knew it was going to cause a lot of confusion. So it was almost like a head game because we weren't going to stick around and see what happened. We just knew it was fucked up. You know, I miss doing shit like that. That'd be
what,
funny.
You miss being young?
Yeah, I miss just going and fucking with shit. Just fuck with it. I've been so mad if I come out of my house and all my yard ornaments were at all the neighbors. And you know they just gotta go around and collect their shit and put it back. Damn it, I'll deal with this after work.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, but still, like, I miss those days, glory days.
I'm still pretty young, so I still have a lot of days to live.
Yeah, so Michelle, if you ever want us to come kidnap Daniel and take him down the river, get him out of your hair for a day.
Go ahead. When did you say?
When the weather warms up and they let us out.
Go ahead on.
Yeah.
He heard me say that I was going to Pride, so he told me he was my plus one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, queen.
He's like, I've never been. I've never been. I was like, okay. Oops, sorry.
Well, we're kind of bummed.
I still got my shirt that says, hey, I give out hugs. Because I was a hugger for one Pride.
That'll be good. What are you going to be this Pride?
Naked.
Oh. For last Pride, I had a rainbow t-shirt on. Well, it was a black t-shirt with rainbow lettering that said, I might not go down in history, but I'll go down on you. And I had rainbow hair. And this year, I had planned on wearing a shirt that said, If you want to know if I go give good head, just ask your dad.
Yeah, but we're bummed because
we're not going this year. So I have to save that one for next year.
We got canceled this year. And we had a big plan too. Like we were going to get a Airbnb, like a whole entire house Airbnb, and like invite a bunch of people down, and they just paid like $50, I think it was.
Yeah.
If we got so many people to do it, it would be $50 a person, and we would all stay in the house and all do like Pride. We'd have a couple game nights, and it was like a week long thing, but it was like stretched over a weekend, but it was a week long, and like we just hung out and had a few drinks, talked.
We were gonna do a lake float for a day where you just float around the lake on rafts.
Yeah, our lake float idea. So it would have been a blast, but unfortunately we're gonna have to move it to next year.
Well, that's not unfortunate, because I told you I'm going. Yeah, I put it on my list.
Well, it was
fun.
I warn you, when shit is on my list, you know, I go a little bit stupid.
I get pretty stupid when I get shit on the toilet seat.
There you go.
I'm like, damn it, am I really clean? Because why is that there? And then you like clean the spot, and then you rewipe everything all over again. It's like, I missed something.
So yeah, I'm excited to go to Pride next year.
Yeah,
I've never been to a Pride.
What?
Yeah, he's never been.
Oh.
He's a Pride virgin. He's a lot of things virgin. That'll give us time to get our little sick packs going.
Yeah.
You got it.
Cause I don't want to wear a shirt at all. I want to wear a pair of white linen, like silk dress pants with a little rainbow fat sash hanging off my side and my rainbow hair all done up with my little drips on the side.
You gotta have the rainbow hair.
Yeah.
I might get a wig and have, Christina Diet.
And I think I want to get a fake tattoo put on top of my chest that says, if you want to know if I give good head, just ask your dad, or one of these fucking pickup lines I put in here.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make shirts.
Do you?
Yeah, Daniel makes really good shirts.
I do have a friend that, I have a bunch of good ideas for t-shirts I want to have made with this stuff said on them. And I need the machines and stuff to do it. But if you guys already have that, maybe I can front up some money to get some t-shirts and we could sell them.
Yeah, he does some good shirts.
Yeah.
His friend does some good artwork. But he does some good shirts. Last year, we had a matching dabbing panda with some interesting captions.
Here's one of the other shirts I came up with that I want to get. Fisting gave me carpal tunnel. I consider fisting first base.
I'm making that one.
I will suck off you and your dad at the same time. Respect the process.
Okay, you have to think of some ones that I can wear.
So there are three things I want, and your dick is two of them.
Okay.
That outfit is very becoming on you, and I don't blame it. If I were on you, I'd be coming too.
Yeah, I see this happening.
Just let me know when you're done talking so I can go home. Men are like beers. Some go down better than others.
So true.
Those are some t-shirts for you.
So true. So true.
Awesome. I liked the one for her, the last one you read about the beer.
Yeah.
That looks like something Michelle would rock.
I would wear that, but I'm like desperate to find an obnoxious t-shirt with tie-dye. I want a tie-dye shirt with a good saying on it.
Awesome.
Daniel and I were talking about that today. I really need a tie-dye shirt.
How about this one?
Rainbow tie-dye?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll figure out how to tie-dye shirts. We'll tie-dye you a shirt, and then we'll give it to Daniel, and Daniel could put the wording on it.
Yeah, I need a tie-dye shirt. I saw one today, but the saying wasn't right. The colors weren't good.
When I think about the fact that you're the sperm who made it. it's not a real gay orgy unless you break out a four-wheeler. so stupid. What?
Yeah, this is a good way to cap off my Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I do have one last question for you before we wrap it up for the night.
Sure.
What has four men who are hard all the time and can't move?
What has four? What? You faded out there for a sec.
What has four men who are always hard and can't move?
What?
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I'm using that.
Yeah, that's funny. Terry was asking Google to tell him some jokes earlier, and it popped up about four men. What has four men? It's something something.
A rock band that has four men but can't sing.
Yeah.
And it was Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore. So he had to change it to make it dirty.
Yeah, I had to change it around.
Of course.
I had to Dugganize it.
Dugganize it.
Speaking of Dugganization, thank you very much, Michelle, for being on our podcast today.
No problem. Thank you so much for asking me.
Yeah, anytime.
And you know, whatever you ask me, I'm in for it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get you on here a lot more.
Whatever you need, I'm in for it.
Elvis Duran has Uncle Johnny.
If nothing else, meeting y'all has made me go and run my mouth more. So,
well, Elvis Duran has Uncle Johnny, and we have Sister Michelle.
There you go. I'm also good for cussing out people. So if you need a good cursing out.
What if I just called you one time and said, I need you to cuss this person out and handed them the phone?
Sure.
All right. Awesome. I would definitely use that. And if you need anybody to disappear, hey, you know your boy here.
Maybe not disappear.
I'll also fuck them up, maim them, put them in the hospital, or make it to where they can't ever talk again.
Or fuck up their shit or something.
Or I'll rape them and take pictures of it and threaten to send them to their families if they didn't give you $100,000 a month.
Hey, hey, not saying that, but hey.
All right, yeah, I didn't say that either. That was a joke.
No.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, happy Mother's Day to you, Michelle, and thank you for joining us.
And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
Yes, every definitely single happy one of you mothers.
Day. Even mine, I guess. All right. We love you all.
Bye.
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 Follow Kind of a Big Deal on Facebook at Kindcast or fb.me/kindcast. You can also follow the podcast Instagram and Twitter at kind_cast. Check out our podcast anchor page at anchor.fm/kindofabigdeal. Follow Terry Miller on Instagram and Twitter at terrymiller91. And on TikTok at Terry Clay Miller Jr. Follow Doug Parks on TikTok at DouglasParks7. XOXO, stay true. This has been a production of Claywater Productions. Listen to our other podcasts, Off the Beaten Path, Tackled, Kind of a Big Deal, Carpool Podcast, and Tea Time with Paul Douglas. You can listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and anywhere else you enjoy listening to podcasts. Bye!